This semester on the Church 307 podcast, we're just going to meet some people, some real life people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. So sit back and hear some great stories. I am sitting here with Cale McCormick. Cale is the husband of Sarah McCormick, who is our connections director, pastor here at New Life. And he's been very involved for a long time with youth and different ministries, part of a life group here at the church.
A couple life groups.
Cale, I was wondering if you could start off by kind of giving us the 1 minute version of your story. Did you grow up in the church? How did you end up in Gillette, Wyoming, in the situation you're in now?
Yeah. So, I grew up in a small town on a farm. So, I grew up as an only child because my siblings were older. So grew up, and then I went to church as long as I can remember. When I was little, my parents were involved with Bible study and church, Sunday school, did that like every Sunday that I can remember. And then, you know, throughout high school and everything, I was always in youth group, had a good group of friends I was always kind of like the good kid, you know, like I was never had a drive to go out and, you know, do the bad stuff or whatever. Right. And I remember one time, at church camp, I was telling my mom, there's like all these people with all these testimonies, like they coming back from the dark side or whatever. Never really had that experience, but later on in college, I kind of have a story there, but, I went into college, got really involved with a group called Navigators, and that was basically like the church there. I mean, I was still involved in a church, going to church on Sundays, but Navigators is a collegiate ministry and went on mission trips. All my friends from college were basically from there, which is really nice because they helped out in different times if I was struggling and whatnot. I was really always involved with church, like my whole life. Never really had like a walk away from God or anything. I mean, I always kind of went through periods, I mean, of not having maybe answers to certain things. But then when I was in college, I met people and got deeper into certain topics that I could like learn more. Mm-hmm. So that would kind of answer some of the questions I had about God. But yeah, that's kind of like the 1 minute version.
So how do you end up in Gillette?
Oh yeah. So I met Sarah in college in Laramie, Wyoming. She came there. We met at Navigators, the ministry we were a part of. We were just friends for a while, a couple of years. And then eventually we just, you know, crossed paths again. Mm-hmm. And then, started dating. Mm-hmm. Eventually, yeah, we basically met and started dating in Laramie in college, got engaged, and then got the way it worked out with, she came up here to, she got offered a job by Billy, actually.
Yep.
And that was kind of a cool time because she came up here, established her life here. And then I still had 1 year of college left. I was looking for jobs. I was doing engineering. So I managed to find an internship right after college. So at least the summer was covered. Mm-hmm. So I worked here, moved up here, got married, and then was working, and then ended up finding a full-time job. So we got to stay, obviously.
Yeah. What kind of church did you grow up in?
So it was kind of a small town, kind of weird. I don't know if you or anyone, you know, can relate to this, but so I grew up going to a small town Methodist church. Mm. And it was nice because it was a super family oriented. It was like very small, like not that many people went, but was very involved with, you know, the Christmas programs and everything, and was friends with everybody there. But then after that, after Sunday service, we'd go over to the Wesleyan church to do Sunday school. Mm. So we do, I did that all the way through, like, as long as I can remember. Was always involved with that. And then on Wednesdays, I would do youth group. Yeah, that's
kind of. So you grew up going to a Wesleyan church. I'm just putting this connection together.
Sort of.
You grew
up Sunday school,
going to a Wesleyan church. Yeah. You meet a Wesleyan girl at college, and you guys end up working for a Wesleyan church. That's just kind of a
now ironic actually, thing. Billy's the, I guess, superintendent of my hometown.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So it's kind of.
You alluded to a time in college when maybe you hit a little rough patch or had some questions about God. What was that all about?
Not really rough patch necessarily. It was more like I didn't have as much knowledge as I do now kind of thing. So there were certain questions, like I'd meet people in college, like Muslims or atheists, former Christians. And so I wasn't as well versed in theology or apologetic arguments and stuff. So I just got involved with Bible studies in different groups, did some research, and basically just made friends with a bunch of people from all beliefs and whatnot. And so that kind of actually, those interactions with, you know, people I didn't have anything in common with or didn't believe the same thing, that pushed me to study the Bible more. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Rather than just being like, oh, I don't know, and starting like questioning God. It wasn't like I was questioning God. It was just like, there's things I don't know, but I want to know.
Did they intentionally disciple you and kind of tell you the questions you should be asking? Or was it more they were talking about these things and it sparked an interest in you and you pursued it more?
You mean like the people that discipled me, or?
Yeah, the group that you were a part of, or the Bible studies you were going to.
Yeah, so the group I was in, we did, we would do evangelism on campus once in a while. You know, just two of us would go out, or when I just spark like super intentional evangelism. I also did a lot of one-on-one kind of discipleship with a couple different guys. We also did Bible study a couple of times a week. And then aside from that, we did, if we would just have like movie nights, like not necessarily, you know, it wasn't like Bible all the time. It was like, you know, we'd have, you know, we'd go camping or whatever. And so, but yeah, they would, you know, help me in those questions. Like I would bring up things at Bible study, like, hey guys, I ran into this person. What do you guys think? And then, so that community of believers, the church, I guess, you know, because it wasn't like a specific church, but just the community of believers would help me pursue, you know, knowledge or whatever, or point me in the direction of where I should go. If I had, either if I was struggling with something, like, you know, before I was with Sarah, you know, I was heartbroken or whatever, different times. And so I'd be like, hey guys, I feel really down about this, you know, whatever. And they would kind of coach me through that, or, you know, hey, I struggled with this and I messed up. Can you guys help me? You know, they'd point me in a direction, you know, to better myself and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So, I've never known anybody as much as you to have these big pressing questions on your mind. when I hang out with Kale, usually on the drive, wherever we're going, you'll bring up some deep question that I'll have to rack my brain to even try to give an answer to your question. Is that intentional? Like you're intentionally trying to seek out these deeper questions and try to, or is that just a natural curiosity you have about deep thoughts?
I guess it's just, yeah, natural curiosity. And then also I feel like it brings, at least for me, like in my mind, it's like it brings fellowship closer. And I'll try to explain what I mean by that. Like if I'll think of a question, I'm like, oh man, I wonder what they think of this. I'll ask, say, you or whoever I'm hanging out with this deep question, and then I get to hear their thoughts, and then it's like develops a closer relationship. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I guess that's kind of where it comes from, is like, I'm looking for community and fellowship. So it's like, I think asking these deep questions helps those conversations. You know what
I
mean?
Is that coming from a place of doubt about what you believe? Is it coming from a place of just, I don't have an answer to this question? Or are you just, it's just pure curiosity?
I'd say mostly curiosity, and then also not so much doubt, like not so much like, man, I'm really struggling. How can I do this? It's maybe just a little bit of that once in a while, but it's mostly just, I don't have an answer, but I'm curious. So I want an answer. I also want, you know, fellowship. So I feel like I can ask these questions. Yeah, that's kind of where it comes
from. I think a lot of people are nervous to ask deep theological questions or political questions, because they're nervous that the person they're asking and them will not agree, and then it's going to come between them. So you're kind of portraying it as something that will draw you together. Rather than something that will separate you.
Yeah. Because see, I'm naturally like, I'm like super non-confrontational. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like negative energy. So I'm always trying to not necessarily agree with people, but like find a common ground with people, you know, so it's, there isn't any like tension. Right. So I feel like when I ask a question, I want to just develop a deeper connection with, you know, people.
Yeah.
And I feel like also another thing I was going to say is the nice thing about the church, you know, and the church, just the community of believers, is it's kind of like a safe place to bring these questions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's, I think that's a bigger part of it too.
Is it safe, you know, because you know that you have some common ground and so there's not going to be a big disagreement? Or is it safe because you feel like the people in the church are more graceful, and even if you do have a disagreement, then it'll be okay?
I'd say a little bit of both. Like,
okay.
Like if there is, like say if it's like I'm sad or something, then I feel like, you know, there's the grace there to help. Then the other one is just, if I just feel like having a good time, I'd be like, different people might all agree with them. So it's just kind of fun to talk about things. Right. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
So you're in a life group now. Do you kind of play that role in your life group where you're kind of bringing up the deep questions or challenging people on their thoughts, or do you kind of take a more backseat role in life groups?
It depends on the night, I guess, you know, like the men's group on Thursdays, more so I like just listening to the wisdom from the other men. Then also once in a while, if the topic gets really good, I'll, you know, throw my two cents in or my questions. And so those are good. Then the other group is, I'm in one with Sarah, a married couples group. And that's pretty nice because we also just get to see different perspectives. It's kind of the same thing for me in both groups. Like I like listening to other people, but it just depends on the night. Like if I'm going to ask a deep question, like I'm not just going to go in there and be like, what do you guys think about this? And then if no one has any interest in it, or if there's no like context, I'm not just, you know, I guess have like context first, you know. And
have you ever asked a deep question that led you down a path of changing the way you believe to the point where you doubted whether or not you were in the right church, or you were around the right community of people, or you need to change denominations because you changed the way you believe?
Like, what do you mean? Can you?
I mean, most denominations have picked specific stances that they, what we believe in this area of what we believe in this area. And so have you ever come to a conclusion in your questioning where you said, well, now that I believe this, which is in contradiction with my denomination, I need to separate or change denominations.
Actually, I mean, a lot of people might not be as well versed, and not saying I'm well versed. I'm just saying like, a lot of people might not know different things about theology. And so, yes, I have had theological changes of opinion, I guess, especially in college. Like I would, you know, I grew up, one of the church camps and youth groups I'd went to is Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. So not only did I do, you know, Methodist and Wesleyan, I did Wesleyan youth group, but I also did Assemblies of God youth group. Sometimes I went to the Methodist youth group. So like we all kind of like a big community in the small town. But anyways, I went to several different church camps, and one of them was the Assemblies of God. And so some of the theological things there, I went into college and, you know, more charismatic, I guess you'd say. And I just came across different people that kind of had some different opinions, some secondary issues, not like hardcore, like issues in Christianity, but just certain secondary things that don't pertain to salvation,
yeah,
so to speak. I have had changes of opinions on that. Like,
yeah, I know. I know that you are a Calvinist and you've talked well, about being yeah. a part of a Methodist church, a Wesleyan church, an Assembly of God yeah, group. So, and those are all very Wesleyan Arminian groups. So have you ever thought, well, I don't agree with this free will stuff, so I'm going to a Lutheran church?
No. I don't want to be throwing words out that people might not understand. Like, you know, Calvin, and you're talking about Calvinism. The whole Calvinism free will thing to me isn't like a big issue. I mean, there's people can make it a big issue, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of other topics, whether it's a Calvinist preacher or like a Arminian preacher, a lot of the things they'll agree on, like, you know, holiness or, you know, just pursuing good relationships, pursuing just good choices, community, prayer, evangelism, right? Like all those things to me are the same, whether it's a person believes in Calvinism or not. Like we're still all called to pray and, you know, we're all called to share the gospel, right? So it's like, that's kind of how I look at it is a lot of Calvinist preachers or Reformed Baptist, whatever. I like a lot of those preachers because they're just have a lot of good topics. But then there's also a lot of free will type stuff. Like I'm really into apologetics. So yeah. Frank Turek, he's a really good apologist and he's not a Calvinist, but I really like his stuff. There's a lot of people that it doesn't really matter, but.
Yeah. Yeah. When people sit down in my office, here at the church and they look at my books, they often question me because I'll read books by, I read a lot of Presbyterians, which is kind of weird. A bunch of Calvinists. And people are like, why are you reading all these Presbyterians and you're Wesley? Like you couldn't be farther. But the reality is if we all believe scripture is truth and we all believe that we're just in this, on this journey to more closely align with scripture, then we're going to have way more in common than we are difference. And the idea of switching communities or switching churches because we disagree on a secondary theology just yes. seems. So you talked about growing up in the church and your experiences in the church. Was there ever a period where you said that you kind of had a boring testimony because you never really rebelled? Kind of finish that story a little bit. How you get today? Today, I think your testimony is pretty interesting. What happened
yeah.
there?
Yeah. So, like I was saying, I went to church camp, seeing all these testimonies, right? And I remember telling my mom, I was like, I don't really have that dark side because, like, my childhood, like, wasn't, you know, super perfect, right? I mean, everyone has family testimony, I guess, so to speak. But yeah, I remember, like, my mom has a crazy testimony, and I just remember saying, you know, I don't have like what you have or what all these other kids have at youth group, right? Or at church camp. But little did I know when I got to college, I have a testimony because basically I'll just give the short version. When I got to college, my freshman year was cut short because I was standing on a sidewalk going to Nav Night, the ministry, right? Going to that, but then a guy that was driving a car was huffing and he passed out going like really fast and hit me with his car. And I pretty much almost died. I was flown to Denver and everything, had multiple fractures and brain injury and everything. My parents didn't know if I was going to be alive or not. For a 3-hour drive to Denver until they had a friend that was at the hospital that lived in Denver that let them know I was alive. So they get there. I didn't went into college, didn't have insurance either. And I remember I was home the weekend before and my mom was saying, oh, we should get you on insurance. But, you know, we and my dad, we all talked about it. I didn't have insurance, decided not to do it. And this was the weekend before this. This happened on a Wednesday. So then on Monday, my mom was cleaning, basically just for some reason went to the computer, you know, went to insurance website, just signed me up or, you know, applied or whatever. And then this happens on Wednesday. So 2 days later. And while they're in the hospital, not knowing if I was covered, social worker comes in, said I was covered. So that was crazy. And then also when I was hit, there was an EMT on his way to the night shift, saw the whole thing happen. And so he was there right away. A lot of the brain scans and different things by the time I got to Denver weren't matching up with what they were seeing in Laramie. The brain injury, the doctor said usually that can require surgery, but it kind of like reversed. And wow. I had four bleeds, four different spots on my brain that were bleeding, but it went away. And I made a full recovery after that. Like they didn't know if I'd be able to do a bunch of the things I did because they just said due to your brain injury, you might not be able to make a full recovery. But yeah, didn't have any lasting effects really. Came home, it took about a year, almost a year to recover fully. You know, I went back to college and everything. Was in a wheelchair for a while. I had to learn to walk again. But the other side of the story is the forgiveness aspect, because the kid that hit me, to this day, we're friends on Facebook, friends with him and his family. But that happened in 2012. So from 2012 to, just a few years ago, for 10 years, there wasn't ever any animosity from me. I actually went and visited him in jail. He was in jail for a year and then he was on probation for several years after that. And we went to court and there were different things. My mom and I even spoke on his behalf, and we worked really well. My parents got to meet his parents at the chaplain's house. So there was a reconciliation that happened and I got to know him and he became a Christian.
Wow.
He still went through a lot of rehab and struggles, but for the most part, he's seen a life change, which is, God shows up. I always tell people God shows up in really dark times to use it for good, because in the moment, even from his perspective, he's in jail. He doesn't know how his life's going to improve. He was very apologetic. So I think for him, it made it easier,
Yep.
I guess for me, for the forgiveness, it wasn't I never really struggled with it. But I guess you could say it was also because I turned out okay physically. And also the guy was apologetic. So it made the forgiveness and reconciliation easier.
Yep.
But I feel like God also taught me, even if it didn't work out that way, forgiveness is more on between me and God. And the reconciliation is part two, which is the other person. If they're in willing, then they can make it happen. The church during all that time really helped because, they helped financially, whatever they, the chaplain at the jail helped. Obviously that's part of the church community. So it kind of helped bring light to a darkness from the guy who hit me, his perspective. And then also my family, not knowing what was going to happen with me while I was, in a coma, the church helped out with finances, with prayer.
Very cool.
Coming to visit me and visit my family. So that just helped out with, deep questions like, God, why did this happen? We're going through this dark time right now, not knowing if I was going to be okay. Philippians 4:6-7, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and it'll surpass understanding, right? So I believe God, what I learned through that is God will give us peace that we don't understand in a dark time. It's easier said than done to say that now, but, or when we're not struggling, but in the midst of struggling, I believe God helps us through that.
And that's, supernaturally.
Yeah. So that's kind of the testimony there. And so after, since then, you know, I've been on a mission trip to China, and I've been, met all kinds of different people to, in college, you know, to talk about this. My atheist friends, like I went to an atheist friend's house for dinner, and it was him and like two other of his friends, and they were all astrophysics majors, and two of them were from India, one was American, but they were all like atheist. And so I was in mechanical engineering, so we got to talk a lot about, you know, like math and science, but at the same time we got theologically, we'd talk about it, and then I talked about this. You know, and it's this story, I guess, getting hit by the car and everything has opened up a lot of conversations with people, you know, to talk about, you know, love and forgiveness and just whatnot, you know, and yeah. So it's kind of cool. Like God has used it to.
So the moral of the story is don't complain about not having an interesting testimony yeah. because you'll get run over by a car.
Yeah, pretty much.
God will give you an interesting testimony.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to live life without something happening to you that you can say, this is how God worked through that.
Yeah.
Or this is what God did as a result of that. So is there anything that you would say is a message that God has given you, or a truth that you believe strongly that you feel like you'd like to share with people and say, if I get an opportunity to talk to a Christian about anything, this is what I feel like I want to talk about.
To talk, like, what do you mean? Like to talk to a Christian that.
Is there a message that God has given you that you feel like is kind of the your go-to, this is what you're most passionate about, what excites you most when you think about following God?
I would say more like lately, recently, what I'm really passionate about is so like apologetics, mainly more recently, is just I'm really passionate about how the Bible came together. Mm. I've actually learned quite a bit. I never, even in college, I didn't really know certain things about, you know, like archaeology and the Codex Sinaiticus and, you know, the different, you know, codexes and just manuscripts and, you know, Dead Sea Scrolls and all this. And I believe like that in itself is not just going to save you, right? That's not what's going to save you. But it is cool to know that God does give certain levels of assurances. So I feel like our faith is not blind. And I feel like God is put that passion in me to say like, hey, it's not just, you know, clench your wrists and be like, oh, just believe. It's like, God gives us reason. Like God, you know, we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. So the mind part of that is where I think this, apologetic stuff comes in, like specifically the Bible and how we can be sure that it is truth. Like, there's several podcasts, and as of recently, the Wesley Huff
yep.
went on Joe Rogan, and biggest podcast in the world, to basically explain the gospel and explain like this is truth and this is why it is truth, the resurrection of Jesus, and how, you know, it's just that's what I'm
yeah
most passionate about. I guess
it's cool to know that our faith can stand up to scrutiny.
Yeah,
exactly. If you have questions. Don't just hold them in. Don't just doubt. Go ask the questions because there are answers.
Yeah.
And it may take you a different direction than you expect it to.
Yeah.
But
I would say, yeah, the intellectual questions of like, you know, archaeology, how'd the Bible come together, those kind of hard questions. And then also the more philosophical questions of like, well, why do bad things happen if God is real or whatever, you know?
Yep.
Those two things is what I'm passionate about and talking with people like, you know, coming up with, I guess, arguments and answers to at least try and help answer those questions, yeah. You know? That's what I'm passionate about.
I follow Cliff Connect a lot.
Oh, yeah. The, Connectly or...
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
However you say his last name.
Him and his son, Stuart, are really
good. Yeah. And they talk about how the questions that people bring up, I think he says there's only 8 questions. They're asked in different ways, but yeah. He stands out at college campuses and people bring him questions and he answers the questions. And I remember saying something like, I can't remember what number he said, but he said something like, there's only 8 questions that people ask about faith, and they ask them in different ways. But I think a lot of people have doubts that other people also have, and scripture has truth to speak to all of those different questions.
Yeah.
And if we will ask them and we will faithfully seek out truth, then it will reveal itself. And God says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. And I believe that's true. So,
yeah.
And you've shown that in the way you've asked questions throughout your life and challenged ideas and challenged thoughts.
Yeah.
But you're wrong about some of the conclusions you've come to. Aren't we all? Yeah. Thanks so much for doing this, Cale. And you joked about not having an interesting testimony, but we've had you tell your testimony here at New Life how many times now? Yeah. It's just kind of a regular thing. But because your testimony shows how God is faithful, and it shows what a powerful thing forgiveness is. So thanks for sharing it. Thanks for being willing to do this.
Yeah,
today.
For sure.
Yep.
Another thing about dark struggling or whatever is one thing I did feel like God taught me in a thing was, so I talked about how I moved up here, had an internship when Sarah moved up here, right? Mm-hmm. Graduated, got married, moved up here, had an internship. But during that summer, I was still looking for a full-time job. And it wasn't until right at the end, finally, like the last 2 weeks of the internship, I finally got offered a job, mm-hmm. not thinking I was going to be working, but then I did, went right into internship to a job. So that was nice for like 9 months.
Yeah.
Then I got laid off, and then that was kind of weird because I remember getting called in like, hey, we just got to let you go. You know, and I think the guy felt bad for even letting me know. He's like, So I remember thinking like, it was just like, whoa, like what you get hit with news. You're like, I didn't even know how to react. I was like, okay. And so I just remember thinking, it's like goes back to the piece that you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Remember thinking, I'm always kind of an optimistic person. I just remember thinking it's a season. Like there's always going to be a light, so to speak. And so, you know, I knew that for some reason, I just knew it was going to be okay. Like I was going to find a job. And now I did obviously find a job. I'm working there now at the coal mine and it's been amazing. But one of the things I learned was in the struggle, it's almost like we have an idea of how things should work out. Like we have a plan, right? But then sometimes our plan gets sidetracked or changed. So there's that struggle of, oh, my plan didn't work out. And so you're struggling. But it's almost like, I was telling Sarah this, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like the peace that you get from God in those times is almost better knowing that it's going to work out in his plan rather than if my plan just would have worked out.
Yeah.
You know what
I
don't know how to explain that.
Yeah.
It's like, I know God's got it. And that peace is better than knowing like if my plan would have worked out, if that other job I would have had, it wouldn't have been better, not like in retrospect. So yeah. That's just kind of a cool truth, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't even know how to explain it. And you don't really know it until you're in that situation.
Yeah. We're all just doing the best we can, making the best plans we can, but we always doubt them. We always wonder, am I right? Making the right decisions? Am I going the right direction?
Yeah.
But if you know that God is coming in and making something good out of whatever happens, then you can trust, okay, his wisdom is infinitely better than mine.
Yeah. Cause he came through with the car accident. You know, he came through with the job loss. Right. And so I feel like it's like a muscle. It's like when something bad happens, it's like, well, I knew God came through before. I don't know how he's going to come through now, but he's always been faithful in the past. And so that's the truth I've taken from, I guess, my life is it's going to work out. You know, there's always like a bright side.
Yeah.
Just look at the past. Look at how God's always come through on the bad times. And that's kind of
our faith matures. And we become more confident in God as we recognize his faithfulness in our past.
Yeah.
We can be more confident about the future.
Yeah. That's kind of probably one of the main things I've learned. So, yeah.
That's good, man. Thanks so much. Thanks for sharing.